In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On the Sundays of Lent at Evensong, our visiting preachers thus far have explored the Beatitudes of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. We have discovered that they are challenging and, as a parishioner said, harder, it seems, to live up to than the Ten Commandments. Tonight on this Palm Sunday at the beginning of Holy Week, we could have paused the series, but I've been thinking about this next Beatitude and how it might make a good reflection as we enter into the mystery of the Lord's Passion, death, and resurrection. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. On Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, the choir sang Psalm 51, the Miserere, from its opening words, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." The psalmist acknowledged the sin that is always before each one of us and the sobering reality that each one of us was born into sin and lives with sin. But the words are not wallowing in self-pity. Rather, the psalmist looks forward again and again to God's forgiveness and plenteous redemption. And in verse 10, we read these words: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In today's society, the heart represents the seat of emotions and, in particular, love. But in the Hebrew scriptures, which formed Jesus when he was a child and a young man, the heart is far more than that and far more than a metaphor. The Hebrew people did not seem to have any understanding of the brain as the most important organ of the human body. Instead, the heart was considered to be the center of human existence, and not just of physical life, and not just of emotion, but intellectual reasoning too. As the Bible Project website puts it so succinctly, "The heart is the generator of physical life. It is also the center of your intellectual and emotional life. It is also where you make choices motivated by your desires." I love that last line. The heart is where you make choices motivated by your desires. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," he is not thinking solely about love and emotions. This beatitude is not about sexual purity, as it is often interpreted today. Rather, to be pure in heart is to have one's whole life aligned with God and his ways. For God to be at the center of our lives, and therefore the touchstone of all the choices that we make in this world. Significantly, it was and still is the central theme of the prayer said every morning and evening by faithful Jewish people when they recite the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And when Jesus was asked by the lawyer, "What is the greatest commandment?" without hesitation, he recited the Shema. and then connected it with the golden rule from Leviticus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Reuven Kimmelman, professor of rabbinic literature at Brandeis University in Massachusetts, has said, "The Shema summons Jews to feel an all-consuming love of God. It's a love that is unreserved, all-demanding, at all times, in all places, and in all circumstances. Nothing is excluded. Thoughts are to be focused. Words are to be spoken, and deeds are to be done." Thoughts are to be focused, words are to be spoken, and deeds are to be done. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, significantly, the Bible contains many examples of a heart that is not centered on God and the terrible consequences of what comes from that kind of self-centeredness. And not just because of lust, but for poor choices, angry thoughts, disinterest in truth and justice. Ezekiel puts it very powerfully. "I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh so that they may follow my statutes and my ordinances and obey them. Then they shall be my people and I will be their God. But as for those whose heart goes after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their deeds upon their own heads, says the Lord God." And we find an even more striking image in the book of Deuteronomy, in a passage that is talking about the essence of the Torah, or the law, which is describing God's amazing love for his chosen people. And in this passage from Deuteronomy, listen carefully, God is described as also having a heart. "Although heaven and the heavens of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors alone and chose you, their descendants after them, out of all the peoples as it is today." And what are God's chosen people required to do? The answer is quite extraordinary and speaks powerfully of the need to align the heart with God's ways, which in turn turns the heart towards other people's needs. "Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial, who takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." To be pure in heart is not simply to be attuned to the ways of God so that my own life has purpose. It also is to look beyond my own needs and to the needs of others. Purity is not separating ourselves from the world and all the filth that is in it. Rather, it is the centering of the soul on God so that we recognize God in our midst and allow him to change and transform the poverty and the brokenness of the world. To be pure in heart means that I will see God. But it's also the realization that God has already seen me. Archbishop Rowan Williams turns this beatitude back to front and says, simplest, but perhaps the hardest in some ways, to be single-minded, to be focused, to have Christ in view, the more you concentrate, the harder it gets. Purity of heart can only be given, not attained by effort. Blessed are those who see God, for they are pure in heart, held, grasped, pure, single-minded. We can't make it up. We just have to have enough of the habit of noticing God to let him in when he comes and see him when he is there. So this, my friends, is what we are doing in Holy Week, coming close to God so that he may come close to us. Being pure in heart so that we will actually see God, and in seeing God, recognize that being pure is to be filled with his unfathomable love. I've often pondered on a particular part of the Passion narrative only found in Luke's Gospel, and it's only really when I started thinking about this beatitude that it suddenly made sense. You know the story. Jesus is hanging on the cross. The bystanders, the soldiers, the priests are mocking him and taunting him. Their hearts are clearly not pure. And then Luke tells us of a most moving encounter. The other Gospels talk about the two thieves who are crucified either side of Jesus. But in Luke, it's a little different. One of them rails at Jesus from his desperation and despair. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. His heart is so full of himself, it has no room for anyone else, let alone God. But unexpectedly, it is not Jesus who responds to the one we call the unrepentant thief. Instead, and Luke tells us immediately, in spite of his own pain and suffering, as he is also dying on the cross, the other thief rebukes the other criminal for what he has just said and then turns to face Jesus and says to him, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I found it so poignant, a moment that the repentant thief should use the holy name of Jesus, the name given to Mary by the angel, because it means Savior. In turn, Jesus turns to him and replies, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Could it be that the repentant thief has a pure heart and can see God on the cross? And from the Sacred Heart of Jesus flows love for that poor unfortunate who could be you and me. It was Julian of Norwich who had a vision of entering through the pierced side of Jesus and into his heart. What did she find there? She said, a fair place, a place fair and delectable, large enough for all humankind. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Or, as Rowan Williams suggests, we just have to have enough of the habit of noticing God, to let him in when he comes and see him when he is there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen.